MGTOW men, what's good? Welcome back. And if you're new, each Sunday, I look at a passage from the Bible and connect it to what we talk about in MGTOW and some red pills. Today's story is going to be in regards to Joseph and the story about Joseph being sold into slavery, how he lived in Egypt, and eventually lorded over the same brothers that sold him into slavery. And I cannot say that there are a lot of inherent red pill narratives in here. Definitely not like the story about him and Potiphar's wife. But there are qualities of a man and qualities of a man's life that are inherently MGTOW that can be seen in the narrative. And virtues of a man that are inherently bred when he goes his own way. Or at least that are bred in me going my own way and my own personal path as a MGTOW. And patience and discipline taste as bitter as gall to the world that we live in now. It's a sugar-crazed, Netflix-based world that does not want to be told that patience and discipline, despite foreboding feelings of doubt and uncertainty in the present, are the only real way to ensure longevity and long-term results in whatever that they're trying to do. And I've always felt in my life this feeling that those around me are moving at a far faster pace. It's like they're just bustling around. But a lot of it's in vain. They're bustling to and fro, making it seem as if they're busy, and they are talking about their progress, and they're boasting over the successes and how far that they've come, and they are sharing that which they've gained. But the thing is, the one that has to share that which he has gained hasn't actually gained anything, because if someone truly gains something, he knows that he gained it, and thus it is real. And to gain something is to make it real. And if you are talking about it to someone else in vain, then apparently it's not gained, because you're trying to make it real by talking about it. And the goals that are actually accomplished, I've always felt, are the ones that are never spoken about. I don't tell people about personal goals. I like to keep them within. Do not let anyone know about them. That's my personal view on it. But this is social media. This is modern day narcissism. This is Western culture. And embedded in this culture is this disbelief that anything positive can be gained 40 years down the road. We expect that if you do something, that you should see a product of that which you've been doing soon. Well, that's not really the case. Sometimes you're going to have to wait 40 years. But we think that we deserve it in the now. And all the while, you don't see a physical manifestation of that which you've worked for that entire time. People believe that if they work so hard, they wait so long, that they will be insured a certain amount of payoff as well. Well, they won't. And in fact, feeling as if you deserve something is a destructive feeling. And the reason is that the feeling of deserving is a projection of expectation in a world that is not based on actual justice. Okay, the world speaks of justice, but it has no idea what it is. The world thinks that justice is equal outcome. Okay, it's equal opportunity. Also, they think that justice is the right thing working out when it should work out. No, that's a limited perspective as well. Justice is the man being able to understand that the fact that this doesn't happen in life, all the while he's able to move forward and live, is justice for him. And that's the MGTOW justice. And that was Joseph for me. And that's why I talk about this stuff. That was Joseph. And as far as stories go in the Bible, the story of Joseph and his brothers is my all-time favorite story. It's not my favorite passage or word of wisdom, but my favorite nugget or writing. Paul's my favorite writer. I can't help but be enthralled by his the active voice and how he writes. But this is my favorite story. So he's a man that is building power, but he gets no credit for the power that he builds. He's not even known. People don't even know his background. His brothers don't even know his background when they come and see him. And that for us is often the case for MGTOW. You know, I cannot, the job that I work also, and what I say in MGTOW, people do not know me. People do not know what I'm doing at work. I am behind the scenes in many respects as well. And I think that there is a lot to be gained in that role, because a man is focused on his craft. He is not focused on it being recognized. And the power that he builds doesn't have a place in this world for it to be shown. The MGTOW man. The world very rarely creates these moments for the waiting man to show the power that he's built, that he has stored. And the waiting man, the MGTOW man often is, he's perceived to be lazy. He's perceived to be worthless. He's perceived to be listless. He can choose to go slow when he wants in life, and that's perceived to be lazy. And he is a distant memory for most, because he cannot serve in the culture of now. And that is why Joseph's story resonated with me for so long. This is because I felt that I have always been waiting all the while the world is running. I'm waiting, but I'm ever doing. It's kind of a weird dichotomy. and yet I don't know what I'm gaining. I'm ever moving forward, but within the context of the world, I'm ever stationary. And that is how the MGTOW man is also viewed. That is how the waiting MGTOW man is viewed. He is building a hidden internal empire, all the while the world casts stones and lays mortar for structures that can be seen in order that they may be praised and that the moments of now are deemed worthwhile, feeding that need for dopamine. Because when the world wakes in the morning, the world yearns to fill moments of their life with a rush, because the waiting cannot satisfy it. And this is, again, the MGTOW man. The MGTOW man is lowly, forgotten, overlooked on Friday night when he is where he is, unseen by the world, but building value that the world cannot ignore. And in this hope that we have that the long game is a game that yields fruit, we hope that it does, but we are not disappointed if it does not yield in full, because we know that MGTOW is the best way for us to live. So I go back to Joseph because he was waiting for his payout. Just like many of us MGTOW men are waiting for their payout every day, we don't even know if that payout's going to come. Okay, whatever that is for you on your MGTOW path, but all the while we're being discarded and disowned. And if you don't remember the story of Joseph or don't know the background of Joseph in Genesis, I'll give you a quick background. So it begins in Genesis 37. So Joseph was born as the second youngest son of 12 brothers to Jacob, who was called Israel at the time, the ultimate patriarch of Israel, I guess. And Israel means to wrestle with God, such did the nation, and such Jacob did with God, dislocating his hip. And in a certain story, I don't really know if I'll ever touch on that one, but Joseph was born to Jacob in old age, and thus Jacob donned some preferential treatment to Joseph. He was happy that he was able to have this kid. Thus, all the brothers really, really despised him. Jacob gave Joseph an ornate coat. You've probably heard about that, the old musical and play. And one day, while Joseph was out in the fields, the brothers conspired to sell Joseph into slavery, kill an animal, sprinkle blood on it, and return it to Israel or Jacob, tricking Jacob into believing that Joseph had been killed. And his brothers actually literally sold him into slavery. And then he was sold once more, this time to the captain of the guard in Egypt, which sets up one of the original Me Too moments with his encounter with Potiphar's wife. Just like we see with Daniel in the Old Testament, Joseph was a masterful dream interpreter who was able to shed light on the dreams that Pharaoh was having. And it turns out that those dreams were predicting an impending famine that would affect the lands, would affect the region, all the way up to Cana, where his brothers were living. After many years, Joseph became second in command, essentially. And surely Joseph was now treated well, but he was also thrown in jail at one point. And he was also an outsider. And he also didn't have his true identity known by anyone. But it doesn't negate the fact that he was taken from his father, his blood, and his home all this time. Well, while he waited, not seeking revenge, though. And revenge takes care of itself, I believe. The MGTOW man is not concerned with revenge because he knows that nature has a swift sword of revenge. Everyone gets theirs. So that famine that he had dreams about did come, and Joseph's brothers all flocked to Egypt except for Benjamin, the youngest now, to buy food from Egypt to get them through. So there was a lot of grain in Egypt, not in Cana, so they left for Egypt. And it just so happens that Joseph, as the governor of the land, was the one that sold grain to people. I always felt that that was kind of weird that they would delegate someone of such lofty position to have a sales job like that, essentially. I don't really know how that worked out, but Joseph knew that it was them. He knew when his brothers came that it was them, but they obviously did not recognize him after all of these years. And Joseph tricks them. He just plays games at this point. And states that they're spies that he was foretold about in a dream, and they have to come to see Egypt to see where it's unprotected so they can assault it. So Joseph is like, I know that Benjamin is back in Cana. You cannot leave unless you promise that you bring your youngest brother back down to Egypt. And he asked about Jacob. He asked about their father, and they were like, why is he asking so many questions? So Israel, or Jacob, didn't send Benjamin down at first because he feared he would lose his next youngest son. So they got in a little of a quabble with the sons and Jacob when Benjamin was asked to be brought down to Egypt. And finally, after some mind games, Joseph finally reveals himself. And Joseph was now in the position of power after being in the position of slave and prisoner. He says in Genesis 45:5, do not be distressed, do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. So it did help save his own kin. And eventually, they all moved on to Goshen, which was what Pharaoh decreed. and that was near Egypt. And you do not deserve, and you do not know the timetable, is what I've kind of labeled this last section here. And I've always thought about what it would be like to sit and to wait for that long, to be Joseph and sit and wait for that long, to not know what happened to your brothers, to your father, to your homeland, and to now be in a foreign land after being discarded. I guess you could almost say it's like somebody being unjustly incarcerated, or like many of the emails that I get, men that were great fathers, men that did everything for their wife and their kids, a daughter, a son, yet they were thrown in what is a proverbial jail in life. And you're just waiting for things to change or for the tables to turn. And you don't really know if they ever will, but you're waiting. And you surely want things to change. And you surely want things to not be as they have turned out to be. And bitterness may certainly have taken over. But I think it's an important thing to remember that we need to be wary of the fury of the patient man. And it's a positive fury. And it's a positive patience. And I've always felt that it's very difficult to be MGTOW if you're not able to do these things that I'm going to list, or you've caught up, or you've been caught up on these things. One, you don't have patience. And I'm not just talking about momentary patience. It's life patience. And the next one is you feel as though you're always deserving of something. And if you don't get it, there's injustice. And that's something we have to let go of, and we're trying to let go of. Third one is you easily take offense. And the next one, you are not willing to be discarded and overlooked. And lastly, you're not able to fight through temptations along that long game path, which he did with Potiphar's wife, and it actually ended up serving him. So I personally struggle with momentary patience and life patience. I know I want to, and I'm trying to play the long game, but part of being MGTOW and learning and me leaning more to the side of being a MGTOW monk is me having to cultivate that life patience. So I was walking the other day, and I just had a thought that went through my mind, and I wrote it down in my phone, and I said, when all is said and done, the MGTOW man of true virtue is an asset unlike any other man. So the MGTOW man of true virtue will be demanded for. Okay, he was once discarded, but now he's demanded for. But the thing is, the people that are demanding that MGTOW man are often too late in their own game. You can't even use their services. And we're not in the position of having to choose to whether or not we give them our services. We can choose, actually, but we're not obligated to give them the services. Okay, and just was the case of Joseph and his brothers. So obviously he had grace on them. But the thing is, we're not responsible for answering that societal call, because it's like giving money to a child that doesn't know how to use it responsibly. And all we can do is be patient in our own lives and beware of the positive fury of the patient man. Once again, we're building something. So it's just one of my favorite stories from the Bible that I've always had resonate with me. The meanings and purpose of this passage run far deeper than what I've discussed, but hopefully it adds something in what's like my 30th Sunday sermon or so, maybe more, that has been discussed. So once again, if you have a MGTOW testimony to share, hit me up at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter @sunrisehoodie. Hoodies up, men. Hoodies out.